Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
Chapter 13. We're looking at going ahead to the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but I've chosen to introduce that study in Galatians with some messages from this parable of Jesus in Matthew 13. So let's give our attention then to verses 2 through 23 of Matthew chapter 13. Jesus had gone out of the house and he sat down by the lake. And we read in verse 9, such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are you, are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has sown in his heart. This is the seed sown among the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word and also our reflection on it this morning. Shall we pray? Dear Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you will guide us to open our ears, to be different than many of the people to whom Jesus spoke, who in one way or another were hardened in their hearts. They didn't hear, they didn't respond. But we know, Father, that your word has the power to change, to take those who are resistant, to make them pliable, to make them into sponges who soak up your word, to make them fruitful ground which enables the seed to grow and develop and to bring forth fruit. And so, Father, be with us this morning. Send your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes. Enable us to open up our hearts and our minds to hear what you have to say to us. These things we ask in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. As I mentioned, this morning I'm going to preach the third in a series of introductory sermons. This will be the last one by way of introduction. And then we'll go on to talk about the words of Paul in Galatians chapter 5. If you look at the things that Paul mentions as fruits of the Spirit, you will notice that he's talking about more than just green plants that are growing. He's talking about inner qualities. He's talking about character traits that involve our relationships with people around us. I mentioned before that a man named Philip Keller has written a book entitled A Gardener Looks at the Fruits of the Spirit. You might want to get that book, and it'll give you more insights than I can give you. But I found this book to be helpful. And so as we continue to look at Matthew 13, we are going to shift gears a little bit. The last couple of weeks I've been talking about the seed that doesn't produce anything. But this morning, we're going to be more positive, and we're going to look at some of the things that lead to fruitfulness in our lives. I want to center what I have to say around three general headings. First of all, productive Christians hear God's word. Secondly, productive Christians receive and accept God's word. And then finally, productive Christians will bring forth fruit. When Jesus was here on earth, we saw it in this passage that we read here in Matthew 13, it appears that one of the things that distressed him very much was the fact that although people had good ears, they didn't seem to hear most of what he said. Part of the reason for this is that when Jesus speaks about hearing his word, he means more than just listening to the sound of his voice. When Jesus, and for that matter, when the whole Bible speaks, it talks about hearing God's word, but there also is involved the idea of taking action. not just hearing, not just looking at words on a page, but actually responding, taking action. And I think there are at least three steps involved in hearing God's word when we hear it in this biblical way, this way of taking action as we hear. The first step in hearing God's word in a way that pleases the Lord and in a way which makes fruit-bearing possible in our lives is to recognize that God is speaking to us. This is not just some kid on the block, some nobody that doesn't know anything. God is speaking to us. Now, this doesn't mean that we only listen when we hear something like a booming voice coming to us out of the clouds or something. God doesn't usually speak to us in a booming voice. You remember one of the prophets saw God, and God was not in the wind. God was not in the mountain tearing up. God was in a still, small voice. He doesn't come to us very often in a booming voice out of a cloud. But just because it doesn't happen that way, we should not draw the conclusion that God is not communicating with us. He is communicating with us at all times and in many ways, if we will only listen. God normally speaks to us, I think, in four different ways. First, God speaks to us in the world around us, in nature, in His creation. We read of that, I think, in Psalm 19. I preached on this passage some time ago. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6, there we read, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat." God tells us when He speaks to us through His creation. He tells us of His power, His beauty, His faithfulness, His orderliness in doing things. We learn of the Lord's ways, and we learn many other things about our Creator if we will only listen to Him, if we will only take the time and the effort to see Him in His wonderful creation. I get an opportunity to travel through the mountains out in Colorado with my grandchildren. One time we were making a trip, and they were sitting in the back of the van arguing over what video they could watch next. And I said, "Kids, you can watch that video anytime. Look at the majestic mountains around you and think about the beauty of God." Well, the Lord speaks to us through His creation. Secondly, God speaks to us by means of His inspired written word, the Bible. That you can go on and read in Psalm 19, the next 7 through the end of the psalm. He talks about that second way in which He speaks to us. But we should be alert to when God is speaking to us in the Bible. Every time we open this book, He is speaking to us. And we need to spend more time reading and meditating on His word, hearing what He has to say to us. Thirdly, God has spoken to us by His Son. the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we are told, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. God has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus still speaks through the Word. There's a fourth way in which God speaks to us, and that's through other humble men and women in whom God lives by the power of his Spirit. These people include our parents, our children, other family members, our friends, and God can even speak to us through our enemies. In the church, the Lord speaks to us through our pastors, elders, teachers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul says that even people and events from the distant past have lessons for us. Lessons from God, as God has worked in the lives and the events of those people. Those events speak to us. Those people speak to us. And we should be alert to the ways in which we are being spoken to by God in any of these four ways. We need to recognize that God is speaking, and we need to hold his words in respect and obedience. The second step in hearing God speak is to make sure that we are listening. Probably the best way to check on whether or not we respect God's word and whether we are really listening to it is by taking note of how we are responding to that message that is coming to us. Are we responding to God's word in a positive way? Are we paying attention to what God is saying? Very often, we only about half hear what is being said to us. Has it ever happened to you that someone spoke to you? Maybe you even answered them, but you really didn't concentrate on what they were saying. As a result, you may have missed out completely on what they were saying, on their words. I find this to be a big problem in my life. More often than not, when I'm introduced to someone, just moments later, I could not tell you what their name is. Even though they spoke their name very clearly to me, and sometimes I even responded by saying their name. But what is it? I am a poor listener. I really am. I think I'm so terribly self-centered. You know, maybe that's the problem with, I see a lot of smiles. I think you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you're smiling because, yeah, Mick Kinnearum, he forgot my name. I forgot Ethel's name. E.T., that's how I remembered, E.T. But anyway, we won't get into that. Ethel says, I have a foot-shaped mouth. In connection with our listening to God, though, maybe we should say to ourselves, I am listening to the God of the universe. In doing that, should I not put away some of the things that are interfering with me hearing what he has to say? I know I should say that to myself. Because unless we totally concentrate on God speaking to us, on God planting the seed in that soil of our lives, unless we respond, Satan will come and snatch away that seed. or that seed will be smothered by the other concerns that are invading our minds, trying to interfere with that communication that God is sending our way. The third step in hearing God's word is to swiftly and promptly run to do what God is telling us to do. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." If our love is only half-hearted, we won't be in any hurry to do what God tells us to do. There's that song, "Mañana, mañana, mañana, soon enough for me. Tomorrow, you know, I'll do what the Lord wants me to do." But if we love God dearly, if we love him deeply, we will be eager to let him know of our love by obeying what he tells us to do. A good example, I think, of what the Lord expects of us when he speaks to us is found in Acts chapter 8. There we read of a man named Philip. Philip was an evangelist. He was preaching God's word. This was after the resurrection, after Jesus had gone back into heaven. And Philip was among those who was preaching. And many people were being saved from their sins by trusting in Jesus as their Savior. But then the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip and told him to leave the successful work that he was doing in Samaria and go out into the desert where he would meet a chariot that was headed for Ethiopia. So he went down to that lonely road between Jerusalem and Gaza. Now, Philip could have asked all kinds of questions. He could probably have given some very valid reasons why he should not go out in the middle of nowhere, leaving the successful work that the Lord had given him to do there in Samaria. But we read that Philip obeyed immediately because he had an appointment to meet a moving chariot. He heard the word of the Lord. He acted on what he heard. And as a result, the gospel was taken into Africa. Now, if you and I desire to be productive children of God, we must hear God speaking to us. And that means we recognize that it is God and that we give our attention to what he's saying and that we act upon his words. Secondly, productive Christians receive and accept God's word. When the Bible speaks of receiving God's word, it's more than just taking something from another when it is offered. To receive in the biblical sense of the word involves an eagerness, an openness with no resistance, no reluctance. If you've received God's word, if I have received God's word, then we will allow that word to penetrate into every area of our lives. We will allow that word to transform and change us with no resistance, no holding back. Receiving and accepting God's word must include accepting and receiving God's word made flesh, Jesus Christ. To do this means that you and I must give ourselves totally to him. For you young people, it means commitment to Jesus Christ, making that a priority in your plans for the future. To do this, means that we joyfully allow and actually invite him to use us completely just as he wants to. The productive life for the Lord is a yielded life. It's a life that receives and accepts God's word however and whenever it comes to us. Thirdly, productive Christians will bring forth fruit. I think this is really the central point that Jesus is making here in Matthew 13. Jesus says, if you are a productive Christian, if you are any kind of Christian at all, then you will bear fruit. That will be a reality. To produce fruit means reproduction. Among other things, it means that we are cooperating with the Holy Spirit of God in such a way that the Lord duplicates in our own lives the power of His Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those things begin to show up in our character. We see something of His own person and His own glorious qualities in us and then transferred to other people. Let me illustrate what I mean. The Bible says God is love. It's no accident that the first fruit of the Spirit that Paul mentions in Galatians 5 is love. If you are a Christian, then your life will be one characterized by love. This must be a fruit in your life. One of the primary ways by which God and other people measure whether or not you and I are Christians is by our fruits. Several times in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus makes this point. Chapter 3, verse 10, chapter 7, verses 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20, chapter 12, verse 33, chapter 21, verse 19, and 34, and 43. In all of those verses, Jesus said, by their fruits you will be able to recognize people as my disciples, or words to that effect. Over and over again, the Christian life is a fruitful life. Now I know that our present day society doesn't like to hear a message about absolute requirements. There are no absolutes, they tell us. Well, that's an absolute statement to begin with, so don't believe a thing they say. But anyway, the Bible talks in absolute terms. And one of those absolute demands is that you simply cannot be a child of God without fruit bearing as a basic part of your life. If you are one of the disciples of Jesus, if you believe in Jesus as your Savior, there will be joyful, obedient production of fruit in your life. The fact that God's Holy Spirit lives in you and me demands that the fruit of the Spirit should appear in our lives. And this will continue and increase as we grow closer and closer to the Lord. Now, to guard against any of us thinking that we can accomplish this production of fruit by ourselves, in our own strength, by our wisdom, our education, no matter how high that is, we need to be reminded of the words which the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 9, Paul says, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes it grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. The power comes from the Lord. In succeeding messages, we're going to examine each of the nine fruits of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And I suggested to Pam, maybe we ought to put that memory verse in while Steve is not here to give us other memory verses, but I'm going to use some executive privilege or something. But start working on that. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and maybe the verses surrounding it. I don't know how much Pam is going to, she may choose a whole chapter of 5 of Galatians. But anyway, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. See, I'm ahead of you. But anyway, catch up with me. If your life produces that kind of fruit, or if you even desire to be a productive Christian, then listen to God's word. Really listen. Receive and accept that word of God for what it is. And see to it, by the grace and power of God, not your own strength, but see to it that by the power of God, the Holy Spirit working in you, that your life brings forth fruit. 100 times, 60, 30 times what was sown. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank you for the challenges from your word. We pray that you will work in our hearts and lives in such a way that amazing things happen to us, that we are transformed from nobodies into somebodies from your perspective, not our own worldly perspective, but those who bring forth fruit, the fruit that you have designed for us. And so bless us and guide us to serve you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.